Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that as we continue to listen to you, God, that we would hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my Rock and my Savior. Amen. I want to remind us this week, remembering Maundy Thursday, my body was broken for you and my blood was shed for you. Remembering Good Friday, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed. And then my favorite, remembering Easter Sunday, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's okay, Sam. The question is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Often it's a question that we ask in some way, maybe we're thinking about it consciously or subconsciously, when someone asks us to do something. Especially if we have to invest ourselves, our time, our money, our abilities. What's in it for me? We have during this season of preparation for Easter, what we call Lent, what we've been doing is we've been looking at these little shifts that we can take to really move from this attitude of what's in it for me to how can I be a better Christian? How can I better serve God? Do you remember all the small shifts we've spoken about over the last 6 weeks? Of course you do. First shift was me to you. Begin to become other person oriented. A shift from slave to child. We're not meant to follow rules so much as to be in relationship with God. To be a child of God. Moving from the seen to the unseen. Thinking about what we do in light of what we cannot see. Consumer to steward. Being a good steward of our time, our talents, and our money for God's glory. From ask to listen. Learning to focus on listening to God. As opposed to just continually asking God for this and that. Last week it was from sheep to shepherd. Helping others to grow in their knowledge, their love, their worship, and their witness of God. Now, as I thought about these small shifts, I really believe that most people would look at them and say, I can make that shift. I can do this. I can become an other-centered person who is a child of God, thinking about my actions in the light of the unseen. I can be a good steward with my time, my gifts, my money, and take time to listen to God's still small voice. I can even help others to grow their knowledge, their love, their worship, their witness of God. Sure, we can do it, can't we? But do we? I remember talking to this big strapping guy who said to me, I can go out into the field and worship God. Especially when I go home. Now, granted, the psalmist would state that creation, all of creation, points us to the Creator. And I believe that this guy can worship God. But my question is, does he worship God? And if he does, how often does he go out into the field? I think this shift from me to we being the faith community, is the most important shift that we can make, and it's for this reason. Without community, that is, being a part of a community of faith. No, no, no. No more than that. being a regular part of the community of faith. No, more than that. Being a regular, active participant. More than just Sunday mornings allows you not only to make the kind of shifts we've been talking about, but it allows these shifts to become a permanent part of your faith DNA. I enjoy hearing about when you've been traveling and you bring back a bulletin from another church. It tells me that God is a bigger part of your life than just Sundays. And it tells me that you know that you need to be a part of and serve in a community of faith to survive. To thrive as a Christian. You see, you know that following Jesus is this. Not about what you get from the community of faith, but what you give to the community of faith. Not what you get from the community of faith, but what you give to the community of faith. Steve and Dave, in their book, Soulship, tell Gina's story. Gina had moved to the northwest of the United States to go to college, and much of college life was new to Gina, but she expected or anticipated much of what happened. But what took her by surprise the most was her looking for a church. She liked her home church, but she took so many things about her home church for granted. Maybe it was her friends. Maybe it was the teaching. Maybe it was the worship style. Maybe it was somehow how she connected with God. I don't know, they don't say. But it goes on to say all first semester, she visited church after church after church, eventually going to 10 churches during her first semester of college. The churches in her area were nothing like her church at home. She didn't know what it was about things in the Northwest, but the churches all seemed so lifeless to her. Since none of the girls in her dorm went to church, she was tempting just to bail out on the idea of going to church at all on Sundays and to hook up with a campus ministry on Wednesday nights and call that good. While Gina was home for Christmas break, she read about the church in 1 Corinthians and had an epiphany about what community is. She realized she needed to commit to one of those churches that she had already visited. Warts and all. She decided to go to the church that was closest to the dorm. It might not have been the worst church in the bunch, but it certainly wasn't the best either. The music was quite rusty. The preaching left her a bit confused. I hope that doesn't happen. And she wasn't sure if the people were as friendly as they should be. She wondered if it might have been just because of her appearance. You see, Gina had a nose ring and jet black dyed hair. But that first week, she was determined to be committed no matter what to God's church. They had a bulletin board much like ours, and there was a sign-up sheet for ushers who were recruiting new members to join them. She showed up to their orientation meeting that Wednesday night. It was pretty hilarious. She was sure they had no idea whose name was on the list. And in fact, when she arrived, they thought she was lost and needed directions somewhere. It was all middle-aged white men, and then little Gina. There was only one other woman other than Gina there. But a cool thing happened. They appreciated her spunk and took her under their wing. One of the wives asked her to come over to lunch after Sunday service most Sundays. And one week they even had an usher team meeting in the cafeteria at school. Now that's when some of Gina's friends came up to her and asked her who all those suited and dress-wearing people were. She told them the story, and they looked at her funny. Are you serious, Gina? You're an usher at an old church? They all laughed about it then, but several of Gina's girlfriends are now going to church. Their favorite thing is to find the door where she's posted. When she hands them the bulletin and greets them, they think it's so ironic and funny. And they were all there when she set up with several of their families as she joined the church as a member. You see, Gina understood her need for community. Her need to be at a church, but more than at a church, become a part of the church. Paul writes about this concept of belonging. He starts off with those words, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship," Paul says. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His what? Good, pleasing, and perfect will. It seems that Gina understood her need to offer herself to God through what God gave to us, and that is the church. To join others in worship of God, to be surrounded by others who would help her to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to offer herself as a living sacrifice, to be transformed by the renewing of her mind, to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect. It wasn't about what she was getting out of church, but it was about what she was giving to the church that made a difference. Paul makes it clear in verses 4 and 5. Read it with me. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." When a person in the church believes Jesus is their Savior, or when they're seeking Christ or seeking God, they begin to grow by the power of the Holy Spirit into the image of the one who saves them. But we as individuals begin to take on the likeness of the faith community that we find ourselves in, whether it's good or bad. If the faith community trusts God for all things, then as people come in, they too will begin to trust God. If the faith community trusts that the Bible is the Word of God, and that it's true, and that God speaks to us through the Bible, then we believe that as we read, as we listen, we will hear God's voice. If we believe God empowers the community of faith to make a difference in the lives of others, in their community, and in the world, then people who come in will take on that. And the beautiful thing what Paul is saying is we do not have to be good brothers of one another. In fact, Paul goes on to say we have different gifts according to the grace that God has given to each one of us. So use them for God's glory and the building up of the community of faith. Now, Paul expands on this in 1 Corinthians 12, and maybe this is the verse that Gina read at home, or the verses how we each have a role to perform in the body of Christ, and guess what? No one. This isn't like the tax law where you might be able to find something that exempts you from having to pay a certain amount of money or paying taxes. There is no loophole in Scripture that allows you to wiggle out of using what God has given you to use for the building up of the body of Christ. Nobody is exempt. Each member, it says, what? Belongs to all the others. But as we're aware of, easier said than done. As stated in Soulshift, a noted physician once took Paul's concept of we being the members of one body, of the living body of Christ, that we all need to take this step a little further. He said the analogy conveys a more precise meaning to me because though the hand or foot or ear cannot have separate life from the body, a cell does have that potential. It can be a part of the body as a loyalist, or it can cling to its own life. In fact, some cells do choose to live inside the body, sharing its benefits while maintaining complete independence. This physician then pointed out the two medical names that are used for these cells. It's either parasites or cancer. Nearly everyone, everywhere, believes that the church isn't what it should be today. Perhaps the number one reason is the parasitic or even cancerous effect that so many of us who have not moved from me to we have on the body of Christ. When we allow this thought to creep into our thinking that the community is for my benefit, then not only do we cease to help others, I think it's severely limits the joy that we can experience in the community of Christ. You see, Jesus sets the example. He received a king's celebration upon his entrance into Jerusalem. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! They threw their cloaks down, but they were wearing on the ground so that he could process over them. Because he's the king. But this week, it's not all that's cracked up to be, because as you experience this week with Jesus, you'll find that it ends up being a living nightmare for Christ. But Jesus is doing what God has asked him to do. His role that God gave him, what he was created to do. And because Jesus willingly goes through this week, other people will benefit. And those could include the disciples at that time when they see him resurrected. It could include the people who had followed him at that point in time when they found out he was alive. It could be the people who the disciples went and shared the truth with. It could even be us today. Because Jesus fulfilled the role that God gave him to do within a community of faith. And when we use our talents, our gifts, our resources for the community of God, then the community of God benefits. No, not the community of God benefits. The whole world benefits. Especially those who aren't a part of this. Imagine what the church would be like if everyone gave up themselves to accomplish what God wants them to do in the church. Moves us from this me to we and me. The lonely will be befriended. The despised will be accepted. The lost are found. The ignorant are informed, and the love of self gives way to the love. You see, Jesus, the Master, shows us the way as we walk with him. But it is the me inside each one of us that must give way to the we. I thought about this and I thought, what would a hospital be like? What would a hospital be like if nurses didn't want to participate in the life of their patients? I wouldn't want to go to that hospital. But it's more than that. In my last church, there was a woman whose sister was dying of cancer, and she didn't belong to the church. And she came a couple of times to service. She maybe had about 6 months to live. Got to know me a little bit, and she said to me after a couple of weeks, "I want you to do my funeral." I was there at the hospital when she died. The nurses there had helped her over the last few days to live life in comfort. And they had tears in their eyes. They had tears in their eyes when she walked across that threshold from this life to the life to come. Those nurses, they were engaged, even though it was a difficult job. But as I talked to them, they felt extremely blessed because of the service that they were providing for others. The family needed those nurses. That woman needed those nurses through this time in their lives. And as a result, the nurses were blessed to participate in that sacred moment. Listen. It's not about what's in it for me. It's about what's in it for we. And having said that, as you make that shift from me to we, you will be blessed. God will empower you. God will fill your heart with joy. And who doesn't need a little bit more joy? But you've got to participate. You've got to move from "this is for me" to "this is for me." For God's glory. And Jesus. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that you are the master, that you will show us the way as we walk with you. And God, we ask that you would move us. That you would move us from thinking that life is all about us and life is about you too. To serving only me, to serving we, the community of faith. And God, that as we do, I pray that you would pour out your great blessings. That your joy would be found in serving others. Lord, you've created us. Now, Lord, help us to be used by you. Teach us. Show us the way. By the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.